Right, Steve, best place to start. What a day for England in the Ashes.
Yeah, great. I think Paul Rayner told me in the start of a test match, him and Les Payne spent one afternoon talking to me. Les Payne, of course, ex-journalist at Sheffield Star, told me that this was going to be a fantastic game over 5 days. Having asked both gentlemen separately how it would finish at the end, so it'll be a draw. And they were getting so excited to cook it, yeah.
But there's no chance of a draw in this one, though. It might be over today.
Coronation Street. Let's talk Coronation Street. I have more interest in Coronation Street. Good luck to the cricket fans.
Well, of course, it is the start of the football season, Steve. You've been in this position many times as a manager looking ahead to this first game. Do you still get that same buzz ahead of week one?
Oh, it's Christmas Eve tomorrow, isn't it? You know, it's Christmas Day on Saturday morning when everyone wakes up and, you know, you get really excited even as a manager when you see supporters, coaches and cars go up and down the country following the team that they love, the team that they desperately hope gets the points that day to make the weekend special. So you're no different as a manager. You probably take it a bit more personal because it's your team that's out there. But it's just a start of every season. It's just a wonderful day for everyone that's involved in football, whether that be managing, playing, spectating, anything. It's just a great day.
Pleased with the pre-season?
Yeah, to a degree. You know, there's always things that you wish were a little bit different, but we're pleased with a lot of the performances. The new lads have obviously added to what we've got. We've kept hold of all that we wanted to in terms of the old guard, if you like. So we're in good shape and we look forward to it.
It's part of that excitement then, sort of seeing your new players and seeing how this is going to materialise, you know, in proper football, because you can look at it in the friendlies, but it's now, isn't it, when it really counts?
Competitive matches are always different from pre-season. You know, I've had pre-seasons as a manager where we've gone unbeaten, scored 100 goals and got beat, you know, on the opening day, and I've had the opposite. I've gone away from my last pre-season game with Paul shaking our heads thinking where we're going to go next Saturday, and you're getting your excellent, you win 2-3-0. So every manager and coaching staff will have had that, but all you can do is prepare your players in the best fashion to try and win a match, and that's what we're trying to do on Saturday.
How is the health of the squad?
Yeah, good. You know, there is Joe Matic is probably 50-50 or 60-40 towards being fit. He was probably 70-30 yesterday doubtful. So he's every day is remarkable progress now. If he's not fit for Saturday, it'll be Tuesday. Or maybe if we didn't have him for Saturday, we'd leave him another week just to be absolutely sure. But he's on the thrucks. I've been ready, and everyone else is fit. You know, Lewis Buxton went up to Sunderland and had the Sunderland staff raving about his performance in the first 45. So he's another big player that's suddenly become part of the group.
Have you got a captain yet?
No, I know who my captain's going to be, and Paul Rayner at Blackdew and our chairman does, but no one else will know until 5-3 or 3:07, whenever the match official brings the teams at the tunnel, then our supporters will see who we've chosen. But it's never an easy decision to pick your captain, because you pick them for wholly perhaps different reasons than what a supporter would pick them. So, but we know who it is, yeah.
What do you look for in a captain then?
Well, I think you look for someone who can help integrate and manage the dressing room. And it doesn't mean be the boss. It doesn't mean shouting ball. Sometimes you want a captain who leads by example, who'll bring issues to you nice and early, because there's always issues managing 25, 30, 35 staff, whatever report here on a daily basis. You want someone to come and work with you. And I've been very fortunate with captains I've had over the years. I've had that with Craig last year, the last couple of seasons, of course, with Craig. And every captain I've had, I've always had a wonderful relationship with him, and I've always been able to sit down and have a cup of tea, and we've been able to talk openly, and that's what you like from a captain. It's not necessarily someone who shouts and bawls and coerces, but it could be someone who goes about their business in a really quiet and confident way, but just someone who brings the group together and who works with the staff and sees a bigger picture. Some days when perhaps the team doesn't see the bigger picture. Example, you win 3-0 and you bring them in on a Sunday for a specific reason. They think you've been harmful. You need the captain to say, no, it's been done for whatever reasons, is to benefit the team, because that's every decision we make is to benefit the team.
Aside from maybe a bit more experience in the Championship in certain cases, what do you think your squad this year has got that it maybe didn't have last year?
Well, we've got better players. I think you could... You don't need to know a lot about football to not realise we've got better players. Our recruitment process has been fantastic. We've taken our time. We've lost one or two that we tried to get, but we've largely got the players that we spoke to. It took some time to get some over the line. You know, Joe Newell and Chris Maguire, the last two perfect examples. Chris Maguire spoke to more clubs than a golfer's got in his bag. You know, he had that much interest in him. Mm. And young Joe Newell, this was something that her club started speaking to Posh 4 weeks ago. And it's taken till the last few days to get it over the line. But sometimes, if you're Peter United, every 50 pence counts. And I certainly know from inside Rotherham United that every penny you spend, 50 pence you spend counts. So, but our recruitment has been good. It's been a mixture of experienced Championship lads, or I think everyone's got experience in the Championship. We signed outside young Tom Thorpe. So it's been experienced Championship lads. And we've also brought three or four young lads in with big points to prove. You know, young Grant Ward has been exceptional, and Tom Thorpe is already getting tributes from around the football world, and he's already got people at Manchester United shaking their head as to why he's come out. But they're blessed with having such wonderful budgets and such a club that they have huge resources to recruit who they like. So, so we're delighted.
Been a bit of talk about Scott Allen at Hibernian. What is the situation there?
Well, I think I can say it now because we've removed ourselves from the process in the last couple of hours. I spoke to his representatives earlier today, and they made it clear that young Scott wished to at this minute in time, with a young baby on the scene, etc., wanted to stay in Scotland. And listen, I don't care whether you're Scott Allen or Messi. If you don't want to come to Rotherham United, we don't want you to come. So, and it wasn't a case of Rotherham. He just didn't want to come to England. He wanted to play in Scotland. So I spoke to Big Alan Stubbs, Big Stubbsy up at Hibs, and we've been speaking off and on for the best part of a week or so. And I told him what the comments and what the views were from Scottish representatives. Very professional guys, I have to say, and done really diligently. And I spoke to Stubbsy, who understand completely where we are. So we were at a certain value. Certainly in excess of 400,000 to bring the young man here. But if he don't want to be with us, then we have to move on, and we will do.
He's very well respected in Scotland. Do you think that maybe, I mean, the big two in Scotland in particular, do you think he's maybe holding out for a move to one of them?
Well, they're just not two big clubs in Scotland, are they? They're two big clubs worldwide, aren't they? Glasgow Celtic, a club close to my heart, and of course Glasgow Rangers are rival to Celtic, but another fantastic football club. But yeah, I don't think it's a case of whether it's Glasgow Rangers for Scotty Allen. I think he has a young family on the scene now. He wants to be around them, and I have to believe that because it's been told me by two guys that represent him who are really good guys. I've done dealings with them in the past. They're very honest, good and bad news you get from them. Mm. And they said, Steve, he would have been really keen. You're the type of manager we'd love to see him play for. But we have to pass the lad's thoughts on, and we have to respect that. So we've withdrawn from the process. We have to respect Hibernian Football Club, who have been under difficulties in their own right by getting bids for players that they don't want, and that's always difficult. Like Big Stubbs, he's managed it fantastically well, and to the directors at Hibernian, we wish them every success in the Championship. That is down in England, perhaps people don't see it, but Hibernian Football Club is a proper football club.
With that move not happening now, then do you go into this game with what you've got, or is there still a chance, maybe an outside chance, that you're going to get somebody else in?
No, we won't do anything before Saturday, and even if Messi walks in the door, he'll be on the bench.
Even Messi?
Aye, he'll be on the bench. You know, we're started to get ready from Tuesday towards Saturday, and even if Scotty had come in, he would have been starting Saturday. We're not going to bring a player in the door and introduce him within 24 hours with the options we've got, because all bar Joe, who's maybe we're not 100% sure he's going to play, everyone else as we go towards Friday's training session is available selection. So I've got some good options. Would I love to got Scott here? That's gone now. It's in the past. It's finished. Unless they come back to us, and we'll concentrate on the one or two other additions that we have, of course, coming in hopefully before the end of the window. But if we go through the window and we are where we are, I'm delighted with what we've done.
You started last season and the first year back in the Championship at Derby and played well there and lost the game by the single goal. How different will it be to start at the New York, and does that give you an advantage, do you think?
Well, I think it always does. I think, you know, football's a strange place, isn't it, Scott? You go around the football world, Rob, and we went to Derby, we played exceptionally well and lost 1-0. We come home to Wolves, were terrible, should have lost 6 and won 1-0. So it's a strange business, but the Championship is about fine margins. There's some real serious investment going on in the Championship. You only need to look across the motorway and see what's happening there, whether there's some big players arriving that take home some big salaries. So there's big expectations, but when I look at that, I have to look up at Middlesbrough, I have to look across at Burnley, I have to look at Derby, I have to look at Queen's Park Rangers. Of course, there's probably no one spending more cash every week than Fulham and Nottingham Forest, and it just continues through the Championship. And we're blessed to be a part of that, but we want to play a meaningful part of it, and we have our own aspirations. We've got the bookmakers on a national basis saying we're going to be relegated.
What do you make of that?
Well, I didn't hear them say that Bournemouth were going to be promoted at this time last season. So I think they have a tendency to ask someone's opinion. And listen, if that's their opinion, then we've got people to prove wrong. But 3 years ago when we came in, people said we wouldn't get them out of League Two in one season with the pressures of the stadium. And then people said we'd rather more consolidate in League One. Then we got out of League One into the Championship. And then far too many people said we'd come down again. And despite points deductions and some awful decisions going against us on a weekly basis, we rose above all that and stayed strong, and now we've recruited some, for me anyway, the best players that myself and Paul Rayner have ever worked with, and there's probably only Eric Black in our staff that's worked with better.
On the challenge of the Championship this year, do you think that teams are taking more chances than ever to try and get into that top flight, knowing that for one season now, Steve, it's £150 million in TV rights? Do you think that some of the clubs in the Championship are now spending even more than ever because of that? And how hard does that make it for a club like Rotherham?
Yeah, I think, listen, when good managers go into print or speak, I like to listen to them. And I actually probably read their articles three or four times to digest what they're really saying. And Sean Dyche is a man that I really, really respect. I have a good relationship with him. I don't speak to him very often, but I've seen him in print this week talking about how difficult this Championship is now with the investment that's going on. Because I've just named some clubs, but we can't even forget half the others that I've not mentioned. Look at the money Ipswich are reinvesting from selling the boy Mings down to Bournemouth. And you look at Brighton, they were probably the biggest club last year in the league where everyone questioned what. Stevie Clark's talking about, you know, his club should be getting promotion this season. And there's some serious investment going around there. You know, we might be at the bottom rungs when it comes to actual spend, but I don't think it's bottom rungs when it comes to talented squad. I think there's some teams would pick our squad rather than theirs, and they've probably spent two or three times as much money, but we just think we work for a very prudent chairman who, him and Paul Douglas, do drive hard bargains. That's why we'd lose out on some players, but thankfully we've been able to convince some for footballing reasons. Young Tom Thorpe, I keep talking about him, and young Grant Ward, both had options to go to much bigger and perceived better clubs in the Championship, but they've chosen to come here and deploy the football. So we've worked really hard to assemble what we have.
Will you surprise people this year, Steve?
Well, I don't know if we'll surprise people. I suppose I'd surprise people if I lost 2 stone. You know, that would surprise people, wouldn't it, if I was on a diet? But will we surprise people? I don't know if that's the word. I think people know when they play against a Steve Evans and a Paul Rayner side that they'll get a competitive game. You know, last year we got beaten a lot of games, and we have to look back and say perhaps it was the quality of the opponent that beat us. And that's hard to take on the day, but we're in good shape. We want to surprise everyone. We want to get into that mid-table group, because when the bookmakers have you as favourites, I went to a league managers meeting just over a week ago, and I think the consensus there is that Rotherham might be one of the teams that struggle. So let them all go around the country saying we're going to struggle, and we've got on with hard work. The wonderful thing here is our chairman is very realist. He knows how tough it is for us. Our players know that every game is going to be hard. More importantly, the most important people of all, our supporters, know that when they see the national bookmakers pop up, your favourites for relegation, and you're not going to do this and you're not going to do that, it gives them a further edge for every point or three that we can get for them, because they're special people.
Final word on your opponents, who have won promotion after many attempts to try and get into the Championship, and they're now here. So it's a big occasion for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I can remember hearing Nigel Clough speak at the end of his last season saying that if he could copy Milton Keynes, it'd take 7 or 8 years to get into the Championship, he'd be delighted. And there was little old Rotherham doing it in one season. It's quite a difference, isn't it? But, you know, Milton Keynes is a new town, obviously. We had a club under the Winkleman family who I really do respect. You know, they treat me like a lord when I go down to to Milton Keynes. The super people. I know the two chairmen have, and I use this word appropriately, they have a respectful and fantastic relationship. And I'm sure when Pete and his family come on Saturday to the ESCO New York Stadium, they'll be delighted with how they get treated and all the other stuff. We just got to make sure that they go back down the road a little bit disappointed they don't get any points in the day, because they're full of good players. They play football in a proper way. They were the best team for me in League One last season. I know Bristol City run away with it, but actually if you went on a weekly basis and watched it, I think not many people dispute that MK Dons were the best playing side. But I suppose if you're Steve Cotter, you think the league tables don't lie and they win it easy.
Tom Allen.